Let the meeting come to order. Roll call, please.
Director Coleman.
Present.
Katz.
Present.
Lenny.
Here.
Mellon.
Present.
Vice President Patterson.
Present.
Director Young.
Yep.
And President McIntosh is excused.
Yes. Is there anyone for public comment this morning? Seeing none, then we will move to the closed session agenda to hear items 1A and B in room 800, conference room 1-800. Return here at 1:15. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And Madam Secretary, if you will,
yes.
Could we have roll call?
Director Coleman, excused. Director Katz.
Present.
Director Lenny.
Here.
Director Mellon.
Present.
Vice President Patterson.
Present.
Director Young.
I'm here.
President McIntosh, excused.
Excused. Could we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to do the following announcement from closed session. The board in closed session this morning, by a unanimous vote of directors attending, authorized the general manager to pay $134,000 demand for stipulated penalties jointly made against the district by the United States Environmental Protection Agency and the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, San Francisco Bay Region. The penalty demand, which was made pursuant to the consent decree in United States of America et al. Versus East Bay Municipal Utility District, concerns 9 pointed wastewater discharges from the district wastewater facilities between 2014 and 2017. The district will pay the stipulated penalty in equal shares to the U.S. EPA and the Regional Water Board. There are no other announcements from closed session. We will now move to public comment. I have a few cards here. The first is Michael M. O'Dorney. O'Dorney, am I correct?
That's correct.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am a citizen who lives in the district, and I live in Danville, and I am interested in the recycled water program. A few years back, we had a drought, so we had a program that came out of Pleasanton where we could fill our personal vehicles, in other words, not just for contractors, but for individuals watering their lawns. And we could fill up in Pleasanton. Also, there's a smaller one in Dublin. I live in Danville, and I would like to suggest that East Bay Mud establish a fill station somewhere in the East Bay. Now, since I do live in Danville, I can think of two locations that would be handy as a retail location, one of which is the site on Tassajara behind the post office, which is a city lot, because, you know, essentially when you have a refill station, you have a traffic and logistics problem, and you'd like not to have to buy land. You'd like to be able to make an agreement with a local town or city to use the land. So there's one site behind the post office, which is a city lot for the city of Danville. And a second location is the Iron Horse Trail on Laurel Street, where it runs under 680. You have a long linear site along the trail. You could have cars and cars with trailers line up under there. And it's not too many houses around there, so it wouldn't be a bother. But in general, using the Iron Horse Trail as a potential source for a fill station anywhere along the Iron Horse Trail will be handy because it is 60 feet wide. About 10 or 15 feet of it is used for jogging and biking. But that leaves another 40 or so feet, which would be certainly wide enough for a linear fill station. And if it was located on non-busy streets, you could enter on one end and make it a one-way and go out on another street. And, us users, we're creative. We'll find it. And now the second thing is that you need water. You need recycled water. Now, Pleasanton, during their driest days, they use every drop of water they can recycle. So we can't get much of theirs. However, East Bay Mud does have a plant here. And if there were a pipe either out to East Bay or connecting to the Danville area, that would provide the water. Also, Martinez has a facility that generates plenty of water, and they only recycle about 2%, and the rest gets dumped into the bay. So there are sources of recycled water around. Now, as a citizen, this costs money, and we're willing to pay for it. So we realize this saves our water bill. It helps you out because one more drop of recycled water is one less gallon out of party reservoir. Mm-hmm. And it helps everybody, and we're certainly willing to pay for the benefit of it. And I've often thought of kind of an oddball scheme. Back in my hometown, we built a veterans memorial. And for $100, you could buy a brick and put the name of a veteran on it. They paved the area around the flagpole with the names of veterans. Now, I personally, for $100...
I see your time has expired.
For $100, I would like to buy an inch of pipe and put Frank Mellon's name on it because he's a fan of recycled water. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you for your input.
You're welcome.
At this time, I have Ken Min.
Good afternoon, Board of Directors and distinguished guests and senior management team. My name is Ken Min. I'm a co-president of Asian Pacific Employee Association here at District. And this year we are celebrating 20 years anniversary. So EPA Board adopted a proclamation, which I'd like to read it to you, thanking that board and the management team for continuing support. Okay. Proclamation. By the Board of the Asian Pacific Employees Association at East Bay Municipal Utility District, 20th Anniversary Proclamation of Asian Pacific Employees Association, May 2018. Whereas the Asian Pacific Employees Association, APA, was founded in June 1998 and is celebrating the 20th year anniversary of its founding. And whereas APA, as East Bay MUD, is a voluntary employee organization dedicated to promote, educate, and provide information to enhance visibility, value, and advancement of Asian Pacific and all employees at the East Bay MUD and in our communities, and to support district missions and goals. Whereas APA's objective is to promote understanding, goodwill, fellowship, communication, and mutual aid amongst all employees of the district, and whereas APA shares and fosters an understanding of Asian Pacific cultures and heritage among the employees of East Bay MUD and assist the district in communicating goals and information about its services to customers in the Asian Pacific communities. And whereas APA provides assistance to employees of the district in professional development and support the district in promoting equal opportunity for employment and advancement. And whereas APA advances district workforce planning and development goals of code, creating an environment that attracts, retains, engages a high-performing, diverse workforce, unquote, in support of district mission and core value. And whereas the services provided by APA of East Bay MUD will continue to have a positive impact in promoting fellowship, a culture of diversity, and workplace wellness, and personal and professional development at East Bay MUD. Now, therefore, the Board of APA at East Bay MUD hereby proclaims May 2018 as the 20th anniversary of the founding of APA at East Bay MUD and expresses its appreciation to the East Bay MUD Board of Directors and General Managers as APA continues to support and promote East Bay MUD's mission, values, and strategic goals for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ken, thank you very much for that wonderful proclamation, and I wish you 20 additional years of service. You've done a great job. I've been there since the onset of APEA.
Thank you, sir. You're always invited.
All right.
Thanks so much.
The next speaker is Jerry. Is it Merrill? M-E-R-A-L? Oh, you're on an item. I got you. Okay. That concludes the... public comment.
There's one more card.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's one more card for Divine. There should be a card for Divine. So you have four.
I got three cards, and is there there's a fourth card? This one is... That's all I got.
This one. Somebody else from APA, I guess.
Only got three. The fourth card is for an item.
Right, so
yeah,
the item needs to speak as well.
The fourth card is Jerry. Those three. We've only had two speakers so far.
Two additional. So
there's two speakers for this APA.
Oh. Ivana?
Just come up. Come up and clear up
the
confusion.
And pardon me, I didn't mean to omit you.
Oh, no. I thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Divine Oz Castro, and I am the co-president of the Asian Pacific Employees Association at EBMUD. It's an honor to speak to you today on behalf of the APA board and our over 120 members at the district as we celebrate Asian Pacific Heritage Month this month of May, as well as the 20th anniversary of APA at the district. Our anniversary theme is celebrating our history, strengthening our community, and shaping our future. The first Asian Pacific Heritage Month celebration was held in May 1994. Here at the district, and was sponsored by Beverly Johnson, Linda Cristo, Fei Yi, and Alicia Vasquez in the Contract Equity Office, or what was previously the Minority Women Business Enterprise Office. These trailblazers laid the foundation for all of the district's affinity groups, also sponsoring the very first Black History Month and Hispanic Heritage Month celebrations in the early 1990s. The Asian Pacific Employees Association was formalized in 1998 by Marge Lewis, Greg Chan, Elaine Lou Smith, and Lena Tam. And it is amazing to see how our history at EBMUD has continued to evolve through the years. This 20th anniversary, we look back and reflect on why APA was created at the district. As we celebrate our history at the district, we build on our traditions and shared experiences by connecting with people past and present. We strengthen our community with events like our Women in Leadership Forum and roundtable discussion on the role of affinity groups and the district's values, held earlier this year with affinity group leaders, contract equity, employee development, and the district's values advocate group. And finally, we shape the future of the district in support of the district's mission, values, and strategic goals by promoting a culture of diversity and creating space for all of us to thrive and to share the unique talents we all bring to the workforce. We invite all of you to join us throughout this month's celebration of Asian Pacific Heritage Month and APA's 20th anniversary as we celebrate our history at EBMUD, strengthen our community with leadership and professional development, and shape the future of the district in close connection with each other and the communities we serve. Thank you again on behalf of the APA board and membership.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have another?
Not for this, for item 9.
A numbered item, okay. That concludes the speakers for the public comment. Let us now move to item 3, which is consent calendar.
Are there any speaker cards on any of those items, Bill?
No.
Then I would move items 1 through 6.
I'll second.
Motion to approve items 1 through 6, properly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of said motion indicate by the usual sign of aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? So ordered. Let us now move for determination and discussion. The ledge update.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We have a written legislative report for you, legislative report number 4, which was discussed in the committee this morning. Would you like me to report out on that, or would a committee member like to?
Well, our chair is not here this afternoon.
Okay. There are two bills for action consideration. One is AB 2072, Assemblymember Cork. The other one is AB 2371, Assemblymember Carrillo. The first measure is about constituents of emerging concern, and it would establish a program at the State Water Resources Control Board to research the potential effects of these constituents and look at monitoring and testing methods for these. This really mirrors something that's going on at the federal level, but we don't have a permanent program at the state level. And the idea here is to inform future regulatory and legislative action on this topic. And we're recommending a support on this one.
And the committee was unanimous.
And the next one is AB 2371. This is about water use efficiency. And this would codify 4 of the consensus recommendations of the independent technical panel on water use efficiency. These 4 are about outdoor water use efficiency, and they would pertain to landscape contractor testing, home inspections, and plant labeling. And we are recommending a support on this one as well.
Yes. The emerging constituents, what's that mean?
Well, you know, it's to respond to trying to keep up with what's going on with new things being added, really in the manufacturing process, where maybe our standards for testing to look for contaminants with regard to drinking water or environmental contaminants have not caught up with everything that's being added into the system. So the idea here is to look at what those emerging contaminants are, determine if they're a problem, and then find ways to test and detect those so that we're continuing to provide safe drinking water.
If I might color that a little bit. So as it stands now, most chemicals do not need to be proven to be safe to be on the market. And so we're left, you know, sort of on the back end of determining what their impacts are on water. In addition to that, there are, you know, there's concerns about, you know, the impact of pharmaceuticals in water and whether they're being captured appropriately in drinking water. And as Marlene said, this does fall to the federal government typically to investigate, determine, and move these things along. The regulatory process, but as has been the case in previous administrations that didn't think that was necessarily so important, this state, California, has taken a lead on moving forward regulation of contaminants like perchlorate, arsenic, and a host of others, where the federal government has either, you know, stepped back from the process or, you know, been too slow. And I think we're looking at another period in the world of EPA where they are not necessarily looking at things with the rigor or speed that we would want. And so California, again, finds itself in the position of needing to step up.
So I'm going to be supporting this, don't misunderstand. But so we're talking about, like, pharmaceuticals may not have any regulation on it. Is that the kinds of things we're talking about?
Pharmaceuticals could be one thing. Additives in cleaning products could be something else.
Pesticides. EPA puts out a list. There's a list of mm-hmm. contaminants that we currently monitor for
right.
that are not regulated.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's all.
Right. I was just, you know, my when I see something that says emerging, and the thing I start to think about is, okay, so what's coming out of the swamp? Does that mean chemicals that are coming out of Washington, D.C. or something, or is that a whole other issue?
And I will add that Assemblymember Cork is a scientist for all scientists, and he really is about let's make science-based decisions and let's do this in a pragmatic way. And so that this bill reflects his approach on a lot of...
He's a nuclear engineer, as I recall. He fills that role so stereotypically.
Alex, did you?
No, I think it was answered. Thank you.
I would move staff's recommendation on both of those bills.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of said motion indicate by the usual sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
The next item in the Ledge Report is an information item on the two ballot measures that are going to be on ballots this year. The first is the park bond, which is Prop 68, which will be on the June ballot. The second is the water bond, which just qualified for the November ballot. And we're providing these as information items at this point. Staff is not recommending a position. At the committee this morning, they received information on this, and we were asked to come back to the board later in the year with more information on the water bond so the board could have a more thorough discussion on this one. What I'd like to do is just walk you through briefly what we've got in the write-up, and attached to the write-up is a table.
Yeah.
And this table is for the water bond because it's got quite a few different provisions, so that gives you a little bit more detail. But on the overview, what we've highlighted in the write-up is that both of these bonds, we're looking at them together. We've got information on what the cost to the state would be for both of these with regard to debt service. If both of these were to pass, we're looking at about $600 million a year in debt service that these would add on to the existing service that the state is paying for the other outstanding bonds. We did note that in the water bond, there are a couple of items that are typically a beneficiary pays item. One is the Fryant item, and the other is the Oroville spillway item. And we're expressing concern about bond measures, bond money, taxpayer money being used to pay for those items. Moving to the table, I didn't give you the amounts. Excuse me. The park bond is a $4 billion bond. The water bond is an $8.9 billion bond. Looking at the table, there are 11... You know what? I'm not sure of the number. I'll just run through them. Safe Drinking Water Chapter, $750 million. And that is predominantly for disadvantaged communities. There are provisions in there for initial O&M up to 3 years. Water recycling and desal, $400 million for recycling projects. Desal for brackish water, $400 million. Water conservation, $365 million. Flood management and improved water supply, $500 million. Water measurement and information, $60 million. Stormwater capture, $550 million. Integrated regional water management, $5 million. Watershed improvement for water supply and water quality, that is $2.355 billion. And I will note in that one, there is quite a bit of money going to various conservancies. There are two different chapters that have money spread out for conservancies. Next one is land and water management for water supply improvement, $100 million. Conservation Corps, $40 million. Central Valley Fisheries Restoration, $400 million. And I will note that on the fishery restoration piece, money would be for self-sustaining or to achieve self-sustaining fisheries with no funds going to hatcheries. Groundwater sustainability and storage, $685 million. Pacific Flyway Restoration, $930 million. Sacramento Region Water Reliability and Habitat, $10 million. Bay Area Regional Water Reliability, $250 million. improved water conveyance, $855 million. $750 million of that is for the Friant Water Authority project that I mentioned. And then Oroville Dam flood safety is $222 million. And again, we'll be back later in the year with more information on this one for you. And I understand Mr. Merrill has comments as well.
We can take those now.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and board members. I'm Jerry Merrill with the Natural Heritage Institute, and thank you for taking a little time today to hear about our water bond, which will be on the November ballot. Your staff has summarized the provisions, but there are some that are particularly of importance and benefit to East Bay Mud. Obviously, the voters in your region passed the Measure AA, which we had on the ballot a couple years ago for the Bay Area Restoration Authority for San Francisco Bay. That provided about half the money that's needed for the authority, and this measure includes $200 million for that. Your own participation in the Bay Area Regional Reliability Study is very worthwhile and important, and this does fund $250 million of that effort. Some of the other provisions that your staff described, I'm sure, will be of interest to you if this measure passed: wastewater recycling, water conservation, things like that that you've always been a leader in and participated in. I think in your watershed, there are a couple of items that are really important. The Sierra Nevada Conservancy has never been seriously funded by the state of California. For the first time, we include serious funding for that agency, which benefits your watershed, of $250 million. And the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, another state program that has never really been funded to any serious extent, but obviously in San Joaquin County and even in some of the other counties that you're involved with, that would be important. So we're happy to include those. Some of the endorsements in your region that I think show the widespread appeal of this measure: the Bay Area Council, Silicon Valley Leadership Group, the Bay Planning Coalition, Save the Bay, Native Plant Society, Ducks Unlimited, and in your own particular area, the Friends of Arinda Creek, Friends of San Leandro Creek, Planning and Conservation League, Wildcat San Pablo Watershed Council. A lot of people have endorsed this in the local area. The benefits of this to safe drinking water, which is an issue you're grappling with both on a legislative and other level, this measure does seriously fund that, as your staff pointed out, $750 million for safe drinking water and for wastewater in disadvantaged communities. Your staff has suggested concern over the legislative measures that would impact your district by imposing taxes on your water users. We take no position on that, but I would point out this is another way of paying for some of those really important programs. And we have been endorsed by leading environmental justice groups like Leadership Council for Justice here in the East Bay and the Center for Sustainable Neighborhoods and the Community Water Center in Fresno. AQUA endorsed this measure unanimously before it even qualified. And locally, we have the Alameda County Water District, Solano County Water Agency, and the Contra Costa Building Trades have endorsed it, and more up in your area in the watershed, the Calaveras County Water District. We hope that as you reconsider this measure later on this year, you'll take into account the benefits for East Bay Mud. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question.
Yes, question.
Jerry, I wonder, you know, oftentimes I get asked, or you know, a criticism of this is that these are public funds going for projects that benefit some subset of Californians. Where do you kind of counsel or draw the line for what's a public project that should come out of the general fund and what's a project that should be funded by the beneficiaries of that, such
well,
project?
Well, all bonds subsidize some person, business, region, one way or another. So the housing bond that's on the ballot this November clearly is intended to subsidize low and moderate income housing, but those are individual people we're benefiting. Granted, we see a societal benefit to that, but a bond is designed to subsidize some activity. So while this bond includes general sort of provisions, such as water conservation, where East Bay Mud might apply for a grant matching funds to do water conservation for your water users, that's true of virtually every category. And it's hard to distinguish. The one thing the state constitution prohibits, rightly so, is a direct benefit to a private entity. And none of these funds goes to private entities. It all has to be spent by public agencies for public benefit. You have to show the public benefit. And so I guess I would say that all bonds are subsidies. They impact the general fund, as your staff pointed out. But it's the only way we really fund infrastructure in the state of California anymore. We have Regional Measure 3. We have local measures to do that. But the state no longer funds infrastructure from the general fund, and that's why your staff is struggling with the bills that would impose a tax on your water users, because the legislature wants to go that way as opposed to using the more general fund. It's a long answer to your question.
Yeah,
but
no, it's, yeah. It requires a longer answer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks
Thank
for coming
you
today.
Okay. All right.
That's all we have in the way of legislative report. If you'd like, we can move on to the next item. Is that correct, Marlon?
Do we
have a vote on this?
No recommendation.
No, information.
All right. So
don't we have to take an action here?
Nope.
As it relates to the water bond?
No, we took the action on the other stuff. Right. That's right.
We'll be back a little later in the year with more information on the water bond. And so Scott Klein, our controller, is here to provide a sense of the next steps involved in our schedule of rates and charges and that are not subject to Prop 218.
Correct. Director Patterson, Vice President, and members of the board. This motion is before you is related to the filing of the report and recommendation from the GM as to the revisions to the water and wastewater schedule for rates and charges, which are non-Prop 218 for the fiscal year of 2019, and then to set a hearing date on June 12th for you to consider the report and recommendation. So as a reminder, as part of the biennial budget and rate process, the board went through the Prop 218 process to adopt the 18-19 water and wastewater service rates back in May of 2017. Both the 18 and 19 water service rates were adopted at the July 11th public hearing, and the fiscal year 18 rates went into effect on July 12th. 2017. The fiscal year 19 rates will go into effect on July 1st, 2018, without any additional board action. So we're here at mid-cycle, and in the second year of the process, the district reviews the water and wastewater schedule of fees and rates for fees that are not subject to Proposition 218. These rates are subject to Proposition 26 and other legal requirements and are in full compliance with those requirements. Today we are filing the GM report, which recommends revisions to those rates for fiscal year 19. And that, in addition, we are asking the board to set a public hearing to consider the recommended revisions on June 12th. In addition to the GM report and public hearing, we have a board workshop on May 22nd to discuss strategic plan, the mid-cycle budget, and proposed changes to these fees and charges. So here are a list of the 19 rates and charges schedules that we're recommending for revision. They include the customer service related fee schedules B and C. Installation fee schedules are D, E, F, and G. And water and wastewater capacity fees. We're also going to recommend some minor revisions, and primarily for clarification purposes, on some of the water service regulations that govern the water system at that time as well. So what are the next steps? In summary, for the fiscal year 19 budget and rate schedule, if approved after the June 12th public hearing, these rates will go into effect on July 1st, except for capacity fees that will go into effect on August 13th. Are there any questions?
Questions?
I would move to establish the public hearing date of June 12th.
Motion, is there a second?
I'll second. Do we need a motion for that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Any discussion?
All
right, then the motion, all in favor of the said motion indicated by the usual sign of aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? So ordered.
Right. Just affirming that that also includes filing the report, correct? Yes.
Filing the report, yes.
Okay. All right. So in your packet, we have included the monthly report, and I'm work to answer any questions if you have
I
any.
Have one question.
Sure.
It seems to me that May 22nd, 95 years ago, was the very first meeting of this board of directors. Are we going to do anything of particular interest? I didn't see it in the general manager's report, but the fact that 95 years ago, on exactly May 22nd, that we're going to have, you know, a board meeting is a call for us to do something more interesting than just have a workshop.
It's also my birthday.
It's also your birthday. Well, by golly, then there's got to be a birthday cake along with that.
Well,
happy
whoops.
Birthday.
You have one speaker on item nine.
Oh, okay.
Mark Foley.
Did I take away your thunder?
You did not.
Oh, good.
Vice President Patterson, members of the board, good afternoon. More often than not, I'm up here to explain an issue or a concern that's coming from the membership as the president of Local 2019. But today I have the opportunity to stand here for a few moments on my break and speak as a father. And I had the opportunity for the first and last time to bring my youngest daughter to work last month as part of Take Your Daughters to Work Day. And I wanted to say thank you. I appreciate the fact that the board understands and supports the work-life balance that we strive for at the district. That is what does set us apart from other agencies and why people choose to make East Bay Mud a career and not just a job. I wanted to thank the general manager and Alex. Thank you very much for supporting the efforts, and as well for staff. If not for their hard work, it would not happen. My daughter and I had the wonderful opportunity to tour the shops and make a keepsake box for her to take home and remember the event. And she was tickled pink. That was her favorite thing of the day. Which is unusual for a teenager, but it was all right. It was a good time. So I just wanted to say thank you. But at the same time, I wanted to acknowledge that sometimes life throws you a curveball, something you're not expecting. And one of the people that was responsible for making that day happen, Matt Palsa, passed away over the weekend. And I would just like to ask the board to consider closing the meeting in Matt's memory. Thank you.
Yeah. What's the last name?
Palsa.
Palsa. P-A-L-S-A. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. General Manager, in May, we also normally recognize the mutters that have gone on. Will we be doing that at the May 22nd meeting as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Anything else? All right. For your information, the monthly report is in the binder, along with the reports and director comments section and the reports from Finance Administration, Sustainability, Energy, Planning, Legislative, and Human Resources are all attached. Does anyone have any items for future consideration? Nope. Hearing none, then we will move in terms of the close of the meeting. Matt Palmer, I think?
Pulsa.
Pulsa.
Yes.
Yeah. We will close this meeting with the staff direction in honor of Matt Pulsa, who passed away. The district has been well served by Matt, and we send our condolences to his family.
We're adjourned.
In the case, the meeting is adjourned.
All right.